Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independent in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Jerry Peretzman.
Good morning again.
And we are talking with Kathleen Fitzgibbons and Dawn Hagen, who are both involved with, I crossed it out before, Willing Hearts and Helpful Hands. Right. I underlined it. I didn't mean crossed it out. Yeah. I said Parker, which is fine. You're affiliated with Parker. Mm-hmm. And Kathy does the training of the volunteers, and Dawn is going to be basically doing the placement in caregiving situations, which we're talking about. And Jerry, at the break,
I want to talk about the recruiting, which is so important, and the fact that you can be a volunteer and not make a so-called full-time commitment. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us some of the short shifts that people could become involved with, for example?
Oh, yes. I'm glad you brought that up, Jerry, because we are very, very flexible. Mm. The real wish is that volunteers will commit 4 to 6 hours a week, and that can be really at their availability in consultation with the family. Mm. Once they're done with training and once we've matched them, they will meet with the family, the caregiver and the care recipient and other family members, and really work out a schedule. The typical schedule would be, say, a Tuesday and a Thursday, 2 to 3 hours at a clip. Mm. But there may be a time where they would go in on a Saturday for a few hours. So that really is something that they work on with the family. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding is the family's so appreciative that they're willing to be very flexible with the schedule of the volunteer.
Could you just touch on Legacy Corp?
Oh, AmeriCorps? Well,
in reference to somebody who wants to volunteer for so many hours and get a certificate?
Yes, yes.
I'm looking at that from the younger guys and girls.
Sure. That is really under the Willing Hearts Helpful Hands program in Queens.
Okay.
And that program's a little different.
Okay, okay.
But if folks have questions about that, I can certainly refer them to our Queens coordinator. But in that program, folks do receive an allowance and an educational award of about $1,500. You are volunteering. There are longer hours that you're required to volunteer, and you're also required to do monthly in-service trainings. So it's a little more rigorous. But that program, you know, that is what this program is modeled after. So it's been very successful. So if folks would like to learn more about that, because the educational stipend with AmeriCorps is very, very attractive to folks, I'd be happy to refer them to Sarah Azizi, our coordinator.
Okay, that's fine.
But what Jerry's
referencing is somebody can come for 2 hours a month. They'll have been trained
under
Kathy's group, and whether they want 1 or 2 hours a month or they want three days a month.
Well, it really, what we would encourage is 4 to 6 hours per week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. To be meaningful in terms of providing support for the family. You just can't come in, say hello, how are things going, and see you next week.
Right.
But someone shouldn't feel that they have to commit, a day or a full day or something like that. It can be done after work, for example. I assume.
Sure.
So that if someone.
That's true.
I've seen that over at St. Barnabas, that women come in after work and spend the evening with these kids. And of course, you can do the same thing with a family with where there's dementia or Alzheimer's, provide some relief and support.
I have a question for Dawn.
Sure.
Is there consistency in putting the volunteer to the family, or every Wednesday would be a different person, or you try to do, say, Jerry, if he's a volunteer, will come to my house every Wednesday?
No, absolutely. Consistency is key with the families, especially when you're working with an Alzheimer's families, because it's important to maintain that connection with the volunteer. It's important to maintain that continuity of volunteering and a regular schedule. Kathy and I, we have a wonderful job once we've identified our families who are looking for some in-home respite, and Kathy has identified some of her wonderful, fantastic volunteers. We get to play matchmaker. Kathy and I have a conversation. And we talk about some of our families and some of the volunteers and, some of the talents that the volunteers bring and their interests
and
we try to connect the volunteers with the families who you know, if they're caring for somebody who was an old war vet and likes to talk about, you know, the Civil War and all that kind of thing, then we want to get a volunteer who may have an interest in history or a history buff or something like that. So,
Very important.
That there is that common connection between the volunteer and the family.
What sort of thing would volunteers do, let's say, on a typical 4-hour stint?
Okay, that's a great question, Jerry. Thank you. Volunteer, I mean, they're not going in to replace any services that may already be in place. They're not going in to be the new maid. They're not going in to do the housekeeping and the personal care or anything like that. The volunteers are really there as a friendly volunteer to engage the person, to provide that mental stimulation, to, you know, engage them in activities, conversation, current events, really just to be a friend to them and have a conversation and chat and, you know, over a cup of coffee. I actually have one woman who is looking to have a volunteer come in to accompany her mom on her cocoa runs. You know, she likes to go down to the local diner and have a hot chocolate every afternoon.
Okay.
And, you know, the daughter, she's very busy. She's working and she's got children. She's running all over. She goes, I would like to have a volunteer come in once or twice a week to go with my mom, go with my mother for a couple of hours and walk her down to the cafe and have cocoa and, you know, and make sure she comes back okay.
Right, right.
So they really are, you know, they're there for support. They're there really to, you know, assist the family. And many times what we do see is that the volunteer and the primary caregiver, they develop a really great bond and relationship, because many times the caregivers may be isolated, you know, because their loved one, especially with spouses, if their loved one is not the same anymore, they can't have that meaningful conversation or interaction that they once used to be able to have. And so having a volunteer who understands and, you know, becomes a friend to the caregiver, becomes a friend to the wife or to the husband who is
really
taking care
of. It's a two-way street, both for the individual with dementia as well as people who are taking care of them. Kind of bring a little new perspective in, a new face, a new voice.
Yes.
Break the...
Absolutely. They become part of the family
many times.
Well, volunteering in general can bring that about.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, you get so much back from volunteering, but in a situation like this, you're right, you're sitting down with the husband or the wife who is getting the respite, and then the other partner is like, thank you so much, and you'll wind up staying an extra hour possibly talking to her or him about what's going on in their life. Is there an income requirement, meaning that if somebody's worth millions of dollars, you can come to them? I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? You don't have to fill out a financial to get respite.
No.
Okay.
With the Alzheimer Caregiver Initiative, there is no income guidelines. Because it's a research-based program, and, you know, we are looking to gather certain demographic and, you know, looking to see who are the folks that we are working with, so we may ask an overall question, a range, but it doesn't qualify or disqualify a family from receiving services.
Right. So it's purely need.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's pure. Really? I mean, we're looking at the caregivers who are dealing with a lot. Who are we're looking at the sandwich generation. It could be the daughter who has her family and is taking care of an elderly, frail parent, and then also is running around taking care of her children and maintaining the household. We're looking at husband and wives who, the wife is the primary caregiver and she's disconnected from. From her regular, social life. She's not going out to lunch with her girlfriend. She's not going to the senior center anymore. She may not be, engaging in those social activities because it's too cumbersome, which is why some of the programs that we're offering, like a memory cafe, for example. Memory cafe, it's a very social program. Where we go out to a restaurant and we socialize and interact, and it's for both. It's one of these joint enrichment programs where the caregiver and the person with the illness will come to with others and participate in a social gathering where there's light entertainment. We'll have afternoon tea or desserts, and really an opportunity for them to interact with each other, get to know each other. And then really, we encourage families and caregivers to join support groups, to, get involved with a group where you can talk to other people who are kind of going through the same journey that they're going through, and share ideas, share information, learn new tactics and techniques and, right. and taking care of their relative. So a lot of the program, I mean, the volunteer respite part of it is a nice component and a big
Absolutely.
Component of the program. But we also offer so many other services, you know, the social workers really working mm-hmm. with the families to help them and help them navigate this journey, help them navigate mm-hmm. where thinking about long-term care, where are they going to provide care on a long-term basis? You know, can mom or dad or... Can they stay in the home for as long as possible? And, you know, what we find is that through caregiver support programs that we can, that families can keep their loved one in the home longer, mm-hmm. For more than like 3 to 5 years longer. Is it 3 to 5 years? I think it's like 3 to 5 years
mm-hmm.
longer
okay,
before they have to even consider like an institutional setting.
Right. But it's important that you're saying they can cut off their outside life.
Right.
Because at
no.
one point they will be alone.
Yeah.
And then it's like starting to date all over. I don't mean they're going to be looking for dates, but just to get back into the reality.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you can't stop every girlfriend or boyfriend who calls you and say, let's have coffee. I can't. I'm busy today. I'm doing right. this today. Because then people unfortunately stop calling.
They stop calling. Mm-hmm. They stop
and then
calling, yeah.
when the time finally comes, as it will, then what do you do?
Right. Yeah.
Then it's like you're out of the loop.
Yeah, yeah. As I understand it, this what you're doing acts as a relief valve.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, does.
And basically, my wife had Alzheimer's and died. I went through many of these things. And what I found out in some instances, the spouse who was providing much of the care became very bitter, very unhappy mm-hmm. With the, and, you know, started blaming the mm-hmm. poor patient. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
And I think a good part of it is because there's no respite, there's no relief. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was fortunate my family didn't be able to do it for other reasons. But you could see that what you're doing is so important.
Yeah.
I think in providing that important dimension of, you know, let's blow some steam out, get someone else in here, and let me have mm-hmm. 4 hours, 5 hours to do something I'd always
yes.
wanted to do.
You know,
that's
Jerry,
so
wanted,
important.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to tell you about when you were saying how, you know, the spouse oftentimes becomes, you know, angry and mm-hmm. bitter because, you know, why are you doing this to me? Which is why we want to offer these joint enrichment programs mm-hmm. because we want to bring the couples, you know, the spouses back together and
right.
in a social setting where they once enjoyed themselves, you know, going out to eat or, you know, dancing and singing along. And, you know, so the memory cafes really allow for yeah. that to, you know, for them to have that
right.
kind of like renewed sense of
yeah.
self. But you're right, too, in having the other supports to, you know.
You know what? We're out of time.
Oh, man.
I know
oh.
it flies. You guys have to come back because this is such an important topic. What's the phone number you want us to give out other than 311? People know they can call 311. What's the best direct line?
I guess we are 516-247-6500, and you can extension 2137.
And okay. Can you repeat that one more time?
Absolutely. 516-247-6500, extension 2137.
Terrific. Kathy and Dawn, Kathy and Dawn, I went the wrong way. I want to thank you very much for being here. We
yeah.
do
thank
have to have you,
you
back because this is such an important and timely
really
show.
Thank you so
service.
Much.
We're going to take a break now. You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org.